Well, we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Music and Ministry Podcast. Well, today we have yet another guest, and that is the famous Sean Reed. Everybody give it up for Sean Reed.
Woo! Hey, everybody.
Now, Sean is a part of the team here at Music and Ministry. Her official title is the Awesomeness Director.
Woohoo!
She directs the awesomeness around here, and so we are very thankful to have her, and this is her first time here on the podcast with us. But in our lives, you know, Sean and I are married, and together we have a group known as Steve and Sean, and within that, we didn't start out this way, but we eventually ended up where our children play with us whenever we lead worship out and about. And so Taylor is our oldest, and he is turning 13 this week, if you can believe that. And Michael also is a very talented musician, and we get asked a lot, how do you raise musical children? And for a lot of you who are worship leaders, your children are probably growing up much the way that Sean did, where her dad was the worship leader, and so she ended up on the worship team at a very young age. How young were you?
I was 14.
And so her dad said, hey, we need a piano player. And
I was it. No, my mentor at that time, I think she ended up being out of town. And so she was like, ready or not, here you go. You're playing.
Which is the story for a lot of, you know, worship pastors and worship leaders. There's just some things built in as a musician raising your children. You notice some things that a non-musician wouldn't necessarily pick up on. You can tell if your kids are on pitch to some extent. You can see if they do something musical. You have instruments potentially already around the house. You know, we have some friends that we go over to their house and their daughter would sing something or do something. I'd be like, whoa, she has really good rhythm. And since they're not musicians, they have no idea. And so they kind of miss out on those things and don't necessarily discover those gifts as much as they would if they were already musicians. And so all of you, most of you that are listening today will have some of those things already built in. And we would encourage you, you know, to kind of look for those things to see if maybe your children are bent that way. But today, what we want to kind of to go through was some of the things that we felt have been the most successful elements of raising our children as musicians, kind of rules that we live by, obviously, other than just the genetic gene pool of you and I having both being musicians and giving birth to children.
And I think it's really interesting that, you know, in the Bible, God put people in families. So like all the musicians were in one family, and all the builders and the skilled craftsmen were in this other family. And so I think it's really neat that those giftings and callings can run in a family. And for our family, my dad being a worship leader, and now we lead worship, and now our kids are leading worship with us, and I'm sure we'll continue. And then even my grandparents were worship leaders and pastors and ministers and had their own albums. And so that's really a neat thing to follow down through the generations. But even if you don't have that in your family and you really see a gift in your children for music, or you want to encourage that in your children, that can still happen. And for Steve, he didn't grow up in a musical family. But
not at all. Not at all.
But he married into one. And so it's really cool how God puts giftings in people.
So here are some of the things that we kind of have felt the Lord talk to us about and that we've done. You know, one of the things that I felt like the Lord told me, he said, fill your home with music. And so if you walk around our house, really any of our houses that we've had, music stuff is everywhere. It's all nice and orderly and looks good as much as we can make it fashionable, but guitars are out, instruments are out. We have
just available to play.
Yes.
Right. Not necessarily, we don't have music playing all the time, like outside music.
Yeah, and we have certainly have some, but surprisingly maybe don't play as much outside music as you would think, although there are certain times and moments that we do play, but there's definitely music running in a theme of just all the things that we do. You know, this next one here kind of goes hand in hand with that, is that we always let our kids play our instruments, even when they were tiny, tiny babies.
Yeah, and even when one of them stood on your ukulele and completely broke it.
That is the one loss, the one tragedy in that philosophy that we have, is I do no longer have a ukulele, because my like 2-year-old son was like, huh, wonder what this will do if I stand on it. And after a loud crack, that was the end of the ukulele. But really, surprisingly, if you think about it, how much we've let our children just play and bang on stuff, very little of our stuff has ever been damaged.
Yeah. Well, you just teach them, this is an instrument. It's not a toy. This is for playing music, and it's, you got to treat it with respect.
We would take our children when they were 8 and 9 and let them play like really expensive guitars. And I would tell them, hey, this is really expensive. But then like all the shop owners would come to us and be like,
we don't want them playing that or touching that.
We did get kicked out of one store.
We did.
Totally. I was like, well, I guess we're not going to be looking here. So really, again, the idea is just to have it out and available, and they can just at their own level and their own speed, enjoy the instrument. You know, one thing that Sean, you learned when we were working at the preschool was this idea of interest indicates readiness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just had the privilege of working at a great preschool at our church where we served for about 1.5 years before Taylor was born. And I learned a lot from the amazing teachers there. And one of the most important things that I took away was that interest indicates readiness. So when your kid is interested in something, like maybe a guitar or a piano or
ask about bugs or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, or they start pointing to a bird and they're like, what is that? Or ask questions about anything. They're interested in it. That means they're ready to learn about that aspect. And so we just kind of took that with our kids. And when Taylor was just really little, we let him sit at the drums, and he sat there for about 2 hours, and he was like 1.5.
Yeah. We have pictures. It's him in a diaper. It's amazing.
And so we saw his interest in it, and we're like, sure, you're 1.5. We'll let you play our drums. And he loved it, and now he's an amazing drummer today. But that interest in that instrument really showed us, hey, we should pay attention to this.
And yeah, so the idea of rather than just, you know, hey, we're going to wait on that until this, or sitting down trying to teach them something that they may or may not be as interested in, they're not as ready to learn. So any of those moments that came up and they're like, hey, daddy, what's that instrument? Well, then, hey, let me teach you something. And then you have to kind of like judge whether or not they're still interested, and then turn it on or shut it off as that goes. Because for me, being a teacher, I'm always like, hey, let me teach you everything I know in one particular setting here.
And that'll only make them frustrated.
Yeah, and it turns it off. So you're constantly judging and looking for, are they interested and what are they interested in? And then give them opportunities to explore that, just to further see if there's a future there, or you know, if they've learned what they want to learn. You know, I think for us, that's one of the keys to teaching lessons that we've learned, and certainly then applying that to our children. So this would be point number 4 here, is you have to let them play things that they want to learn. And too many people, when they go to teach a lesson, will sit down, well, here's a book, or here's everything that I wish I would have known when I started. And so I'm going to teach you those things first. And then kids get bored, even adults get bored, and they're just like, I don't want to play this. But if you can give them something that they want to learn, even if it's way beyond their ability level, they'll practice all week long because it's something that they enjoy.
Right. And there's always fundamentals and basics that they need to learn along with the fun stuff if they're going to be serious about an instrument. But you definitely want to keep them motivated. So for parents, if you're putting your kids in a lesson, if you don't play that instrument, then just help the teacher to know what's going to get them excited. What kinds of music are they excited about? And then the teacher can work with you on, well, what can we have them learn how to play that can give them success and make them excited about learning?
And not every teacher teaches that way. So that's one thing that you would kind of look for. I would encourage you to look for is just, are they willing to kind of customize what they're doing? Or is it like, you're going to go through this program and that's what it is? And your child might do very well with that, but they also might get really bored and turned off. So that leads us to the next point, which is that you need to learn to play and then you learn to understand. And I think for, again, a lot of teachers just try to impart too much. But, you know, when you think about that, into how you even learn how to talk or how you learn to do other things.
Right. Babies learn how to say words.
Yeah.
And they just mimic what they hear before they know, oh, that's a noun and that's a verb. And you put a noun and a verb together to make a sentence. And all of those rules, like, they don't even learn that until way later in school.
Or never learn it.
Or never for some.
Which is kind of how I slipped through high school or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's no grammar class for little children. You learn how to speak and then you eventually kind of understand how and why things are put together. And in the same way, we've kind of taken that approach with our children, is just learn how to play the instrument and then we'll show you some things as we're going. Now, obviously we're around more. And so as we saw their interest, we were able to then say, hey, well, this and that, and giving it to them in bite-sized pieces. But I'm thinking back to when we started having Michael play the bass. He got a bass for his
seventh birthday.
You know, bass and a bass amp. That's kind of an interesting gift for a small child. But
he really, really wanted it. He was ready for it.
And so, you know, he's young and kids that age have a hard time understanding complex ideas. And so really what it came down to is I just put stickers, different colored stickers, under where some of the notes were that went together. And then we would only play songs with him that were in that group of notes, or what's called a key. And so then I would just say blue dot, yellow dot, red dot. And then he could play, you know, a 4 or 5 note chord progression, and he loved it. You know, the smiles and the excitement, and he wanted to play it all the time. We had our CD release back in, several years ago. And he was just like, Daddy, can I play? Daddy, can I play with you? Please, can I play with you?
So we had him play one song.
And so we worked all day trying to learn this one song that had, I think, 4 chords. And I was just like, oh, buddy, here we go, you know. But he wore his little glasses and got up there and he totally nailed it, knocked it out of the park. But that was literally the only 4 notes he knew how to play. So another thing we've really done, and part of that is filling our house with music and looking for those moments of interest, but we really try to keep them inspired. And part of the challenge of a lot of people is that they don't want to practice. They will eventually lose that inspiration and will make it a battle. And we've ran into so many adults who said, man, I wish my parents would have made me.
Forced me to practice and forced take me lessons. To
keep the lesson. Yeah, because then they're upset and they're mad at their parents. And then we meet all these parents who are like, I'm not going to fight my child anymore to right. make him practice. If he doesn't want to practice, I'm not going to shell out the money and we're not doing it. And so it's interesting to see on the flip side of that, well, what happened there? What was lost? And part of that's on the teacher just not being able to inspire. But for us, we really took that on as like, hey, let's get them into environments that will help them beyond what we can instruct them. And so we would take them to concerts. Our kids have been to all kinds of concerts. I think Michael's first concert was a Josh Groban concert when he was like
two or three months
or something like that. And it was very loud, but thankfully we had hearing protection. Some of the moments that really have inspired our children have come in these places that really didn't involve us in any way other than just we took them to that.
Or we just happened to be in Whole Foods where there was live jazz here in Nashville.
Nashville is certainly one thing, you know, coming to an environment of music where music is everywhere here. We were at the grocery store and there was a 4-piece jazz group playing very well in the corner where you eat your organic slice of pizza. And one of the guys played a tenor saxophone and Taylor saw that and he thought, that is cool.
And he immediately came home and said, I want to play your saxophone. And so Steve has an old alto sax actually. So we got it out and man, for a couple of weeks, he was up here every day squeaking and squawking and figuring it out. And
Within like 3 or 4 days, yeah. He's like, hey, I wrote this thing.
I figured this out.
Can I record this? And we're like, okay, sure. Why not? And, but that one moment has sparked this lasting interest in now the saxophone.
And jazz in general.
So he actually made a little jazz recording and then did some jazz stuff for his Christmas album. And, you know, just being able to be in those environments. We even have a video one time we went to a Steve Fee concert. He was watching the drummer and then got to meet the drummer.
Got the sticks, right?
And so he gave him some
drumsticks.
And then we were saying, hey, buddy, use the foot pedal while you're drumming, because he didn't always use the kick drum pedal when he was little. And he was like, you mean like Brandon does from Fee? And I was like, yeah, that's how he does it. And he said, okay. And then he just begins to like totally like make it all work. And so I have that on film and send it to the guy. And he was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And just key moments where it really propelled them further than what we were able to do on our own. And then, you know, from that, one of the last things I wrote down here is the more you inspire, the less you have to require. And that just has to go with like, we've always just let our children choose to be involved, because we, especially for us, we're very sensitive. I don't want to burn my children out on music. And then for us being professional musicians touring, I didn't want to put the pressure of that on our children.
Right. Like, if you don't play, then this isn't happening.
Yeah.
That would be way too much pressure on them. So we never said that. We always made it their decision. Are you ready to do this? If we're going to do this and you're excited about it, then we're going to practice and we're going to really work on it. And they would always be, yep, let's do it. And we'd have an hour practice and they would, you know, be frustrated at times, but they worked through it and we worked on it. But it was because they had that motivation of, no, I really like this and I love leading worship and I like being a part of making music.
That's to say there were at times tears. And I know, Sean, for you, when you were leading with your dad, even there were moments of of tears.
I was a grown-up adult and I would cry because I'm like, I'm not doing it right. Oh my gosh.
But it's in those moments of these other things, this passion that we were able to help cultivate in them, like you mentioned, for worship. They love the presence of the Lord. They love to lead people to worship. Then it helps you move through those moments quicker and not have to linger there. So Sean, as we wrap this up, is there any other advice that you would maybe give out to parents that are out there listening?
Yeah, just don't be afraid to let your kids kind of explore and dabble in the music stuff. You know, I know a lot of parents are afraid to buy their kid a pair of drumsticks and drums, and they're like, oh, they're so loud. But you know,
it is funny, we've run into so many parents who I'm like, your kid has really good rhythm, and they're like, I was like, you should consider letting them drum, and they're like, oh no, that never.
Right. So you have to be willing to listen to the squeaks and the squawks and the loudness sometimes, and in working through that, then they'll get better.
Well, that's just a little bit from our experience, and certainly there's a whole lot of other things that can be done, and just let the Lord lead you in those things, because God knows your children and knows their bent and knows how you're supposed to raise them. And even for those of you that don't have kids and aren't looking to have kids, but you can apply some of these same principles to the people that are in your worship team and figuring out, okay, how do I inspire my drummer that comes every week and doesn't practice?
Or, yeah, with encouragement.
Yeah, versus here's all the rules that you have to follow, otherwise you can't be on the team. You know, going to the right conference or seeing the right video or whatever. Yeah, it can really inspire those people to jump in and want to be a part where they weren't before. So I hope you gathered something from this. Thank you, Sean, for joining us here on the podcast.
Yay, you're welcome. And have fun.
We're going to see her quite a bit more in the future as we move forward, because she is our awesomeness director here at Music and Ministry. And until next time, everybody, God bless. And we're just believing God is going to move on your behalf, in your church, in you, and through you to accomplish everything he's called you to do. Amen.